on June 29th, 1979.
Look at him, wants to, but yeah.
Well, how did he happen to come to Montana?
Well, he worked west from Minnesota. You see, he was born in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and grew up on a ranch there, one of nine kids, six boys, mm-hmm. and he ran away from home when he was 14.
Yeah.
And had him chopping, pulling corn, and he threw the hole in the fence corner and didn't go back for a year or so. But then he went back and leased the farm from Grandpa to get some money to go to school. Mm-hmm. He had, when he was about, 18, 19, they went somewhere, a crowd of young people like they do in those days, and he had to write his name, and he was ashamed of his, that he wrote so poorly. So Grandpa let him have the place, and he got together $1,400, $1,500, and he went down to La Crosse, and he went to school, to business college for a year.
Uh-huh. Huh.
And then he worked his way west, butchering meat for the railroad crews that were building. It must have been, was it the Great Northern? It wasn't the Northern Pacific.
No, it'd be the Great Northern, yes.
Must have been the Great Northern.
At that time, yeah.
And then, somehow or another, he came to Whitesulphur Springs, I guess. Well, through the, probably through the freighting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good. Okay, hold off just a moment.
This.
Well, what can you remember Whitesulphur, the downtown streets? Or
well, a little bit. I was back there a couple of times, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
I was real small.
Yeah, you were. But, you were how old when you left?
Well, we went back when I was 7 and stayed a few days. And mm-hmm. I can still, and when we were back there, we went to Calgary, 67, was it, Eddie? And we stopped as we came back, and Eddie made quite a few pictures, mm-hmm. but we lost the film.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, your father started off as a freighter, then.
I think that must have been, that's the earliest
yeah.
that I can remember him
okay.
telling what he did,
okay.
that, and the fact that he worked for Penwell.
Yeah, right. Well, can you tell me how many teams he had on a wagon, what the freighting was like? Do you know any of those
details? They always had four horses.
Four horses.
Four horses and hauled from the railroad over to Whitesulphur.
Mm-hmm. And what were they freighting?
Well, whatever had to come. People
or?
had to have food and mm-hmm. furniture and
yeah.
quite a little stuff,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, he wasn't freighting ore out of castle or anything
no.
like that. It was
there was very little talk. He had no time for mining at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was because my mother came up to Missouri with a family by the name of Woodson, and they were related to the Badgers and who's that other family, Bakers.
Mm-hmm.
Stella Baker married the governor of Montana one time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were involved in the mining over at Copperopolis.
Uh-huh.
In copper mining. And Mama had saved up her money. She kept house there for $25 a month. But you know,
kept house for
Woodson's because the mother had died.
I see. And that was her pay was 20,
and
the, 25
her pay
a month.
Was 25 a month.
Uh-huh.
And she had nothing to spend it for, only a few clothes.
Yeah.
And so she had gathered up, I think she told me it was nearly $1,500.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they persuaded her to put it into that mining stock.
Oh.
I found this thing
you
in
the
attic
stock.
One time. I said, Mama, what is that? She said, that's mining stock.
Uh-huh.
It was worth nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe for that reason, Papa had no use for that.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to look for gold or anything else.
What was this freighting route between Whitesulphur and Great Falls, did you say? Or
no, it must have been. Where was the railhead? Townsend?
Yeah.
Townsend?
Could have been, I guess.
Because if they came down to the ranch, any of them, or Grandma especially, she always got somehow or other to Townsend.
Uh-huh. Well, it must have been at Townsend then, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if he Would he sleep out overnight on the trail? Was he able to make that in one day?
If it was necessary, of course. Mm-hmm. He always carried a bedroll with him, even after we came there to the ranch.
Okay, blankets wrapped in canvas?
Yeah, in a piece of canvas.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did he call it his bedroll?
Yeah, his bedroll.
Rather than a sugan or something like that, he called it a bedroll.
We always called it the booze wagon. Some of the hired men went to the 4th of July celebration and brought back a case of beer on it. And it was like a, kind of like a buckboard. You know what a buckboard is?
Sure.
Well, this had a top on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he used that always for, you see, we ran
quite... It was called the booze wagon?
In a kind of a joking way, because these fellows brought home this case of beer.
Mm-hmm. How is this wagon ordinarily used?
It was to haul salt and supplies to the sheep camps,
mm-hmm.
and anything you wanted to use it for, that you didn't want to use a heavy wagon, you could load them down pretty well, you know. Yeah. I think they'd easy haul 1,000, 1,500 pounds.
Uh-huh. And it was a buckboard with...
the top on it.
Okay. Did the top start like a Surrey top?
Well, kind of like, those buggies they used to have with the side curtains.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was kind of like that.
Kind of like that.
More rugged and coarser looking.
Covered with what, canvas maybe? Or
the top was canvas.
Uh-huh. So it would be high enough the driver could sit inside.
Oh, yeah, could sit in.
Under,
oh, sure.
Undercover.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've never seen a...
Well, I never saw many of those around there either, but uh-huh. Papa was... He was always first with everything.
Yeah, this is your dad's wagon.
It was his own private outfit. We had a Surrey, and we had a light buggy that we just had one... room for two, really.
Yeah.
Although three could crowd in it,
uh-huh.
And it was real light and nice. And we always had good driving horses.
Yeah.
So it was really. When I look back now, if people thought they were poor, I don't know who they were.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's see, did your father stay with freighting for quite a while?
Well, it was kind of an intermittent thing.
Mm.
I know that he was in partners with a fellow by the name of Lewis Piper. But he never much trusted him for some reason. I don't know what it was. But he came down to the Stillwater country, although he was over on another river, the Rosebud. And took up a claim over there before we did.
Uh-huh.
He was there when we got down there.
Uh-huh.
And so they faded in partnership.
Yeah.
But then I can remember them, like you said, that taking a contract to put up hay.
Uh-huh. Your father and Piper?
No, just Pop alone.
Your father would.
Mom would cook for the crew.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, your father was kind of a, like my dad was in a way, that was
sort of
a small
kind of a
contractor.
And then, and take care of sheep. They'd take a contract to take care of, like your dad did, band of sheep, move them here and there.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Well, when you went to the Stillwater country, did you say?
Yeah, it's down about 60 miles west of Billings.
West of Billings, okay.
Uh-huh. The Stillwater River runs into the Yellowstone
at
Columbus. 40 miles.
40 miles east.
You go down the Yellowstone and turn off at Bridger Canyon.
Right.
And go up over the hills and you drop right into the Stillwater there.
Okay, did you take up a homestead down there?
What he did was buy a relinquishment.
Relinquishment, yeah.
This Andy Larson, he was a Dane. He and his brother Pete had filed on each 160
uh-huh.
acres right along the Stillwater River.
Uh-huh.
Real nice land, especially Andy's. And I don't know what was the reason, but he sold it to Papa for
$300. $300 for both of the homesteads?
No, just the one.
Just 160 acres.
Uh-huh.
Okay, do you know the year?
Well, it had to be...
Roughly, at least?
Yeah, 1894. It must have been... About 1901, maybe?
1901.
Uh-huh. I was five, I think, when we first went down.
You were born in 96.
94.
In 94, born mm-hmm. in 94, okay.
No, then it would be 6 to 19. It would be 1899 that we went there, I think.
Mm-hmm. You were five?
I was five in the spring, and we went in the fall.
Do you know what the place was like when you moved on, or what the house was like?
Oh,
okay.
Yes,
okay.
I can see it, yeah.
Tell me that.
It was a huge log house, well put up, but had dirt roof.
Dirt roof. Were the huge logs square on all sides?
Well, they were just hewed off with an adze or an axe and laid up like yay, real neat.
Okay.
But it didn't have a dirt roof.
Dirt roof, yeah. I've never seen one of those in good condition. I've seen them half falling
pieces,
down, you know. Never...
Well, this one had been whitewashed, the boards, because I can remember laying in bed.
The ceiling?
Yeah, the ceiling, and there was a knot hole up there, and it looked like a little girl's face with curly hair. I can see that
in the white...
In the whitewash.
So that made her face look white.
Yeah, it looked like a little girl's face. I can see that.
Yeah, right above your bed? You could
I could look right up and see
it. Lay there and look up.
And, of course, it leaked a little bit.
It did.
So Papa gathered up some sheet metal or something and put a roof over it.
With that sod... green up in the spring.
Yeah, there was flowers growing in
there. Flowers. You know what kind?
Oh, just whatever is around there.
Wild flowers.
Forget-me-nots, probably dandelions, and not much of anything, but something.
Was it really quite a lot of grass up there?
Oh, yes, there was lots of grass. They had built a good log granary, they called it, right adjoining it. Or not adjoining it, there was all the width of this, easy the width of this, between this end of the house. There was only two rooms in that log cabin.
Okay, let me get the dimensions down here. How long from the window to this wall?
Oh, about the breadth of this room. How big, wide is this room?
That's about, is that 15, 16 feet around?
14. I bet it's 14, isn't it? No, look like about 14
anyway,
feet.
Anyway, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyhow, they had laid up this good log granary, and the logs were big around like this,
okay,
and put a shingle roof on.
About a foot around.
Yeah, they were big.
Foot in diameter, yeah.
And it was
put
a well-built thing and had
a shingle roof
on it.
Okay.
And then they lived in this dirt roof place.
What kind of floor did the dirt roof place have, incidentally?
Just a board floor, just inch boards, I guess.
Just the inch boards, just laid on
just
the soil?
They weren't laid on the soil. They were laid on some sort of...
stringers?
There was stringers under them. And there was a good well there, right at the corner of the house.
Did you have a well house?
No, wasn't a well house, just a pump.
Just
a
pump,
there.
Yeah.
But the water was close to the surface, you know. We were only, measure it in blocks, two blocks from the river.
The Stillwater. Okay.
And that was a good big, that's a pretty good sized river. And
what about the walls inside the house? Are they chinked?
Well,
walls
they
or
were,
plaster?
Yeah, they had chinked them.
Chinked
you
them,
know,
just
with
that.
That
old white.
Mortar.
Mortar.
They chinked them and chinked them with mortar. And
but
my mother, she just was a terror to clean the place up. She could make do with just anything. The Rocky Mountain Husbandman was published, wasn't it, in White Sulphur?
White Sulphur, yeah.
Well, we had a subscription to it. And those papers were white. They weren't like the newspapers that are out, the gray look.
Yeah.
So she always saved them, and she'd pay for a place. She'd make up a paste. Well, here's Caroline.
Okay, let me stop and long enough to say hello. Okay, she would paper the walls.
She'd make a paste of flour and water.
Yeah.
And spread out on the table, put it on, and then she'd buy house lining and tack it across so that the dirt didn't fall down.
What was house lining?
Well, it's wide woven unbleached muslin. Is what it really is.
Okay.
But you could buy it anywhere.
Would that go? Floor to ceiling?
Yeah, she'd use that as a ceiling, and that way, even though it may have leaked a little bit, still the dirt wouldn't rattle down in the house.
Yeah, that went across the ceiling.
Yeah, she'd nail it all over there, and then she'd pull it over here.
Yeah.
And tack it on.
Yeah.
And she could just do it.
But
anything.
The walls simply have the newspaper.
The newspapers on.
Over the chinking in
over,
walls.
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of paste will stick to almost anything.
Yeah,
know?
Right. Did she put them on right side up, the newspapers?
She put them on so I could read them. I can remember my little brother crawling over. When he first learned to crawl, there was a chicken
In the newspaper.
And on the, that was on the newspaper. Where's the chicken, Johnny? And he'd go find
He'd go find the chicken in the Rocky Mountain husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, my father was a great hand to have. We had lots of newspapers.
Yeah.
He had the Spokane Review and the Minneapolis Tribune and the Rocky Mountain Husband and then we had all magazines, Cosmopolitan and Everybody's and Youth Companion for us kids. And
Would your mother change the wall newspaper every so often or slap on fresh stuff occasionally?
Well, if it got too bad.
Yeah, I
wonder. She'd do something about it. What? And then one time, she really renovated the inside of that house. She changed the partitions.
She got how many rooms did it have?
Well, it just had two rooms.
Two rooms.
When we went there.
Okay.
And she put up a partition in the one room so that we had a that was a bedroom then.
Mm-hmm.
And then later she partitioned off where the cook stove sat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they roofed over this place between the granary and the. And the cabin.
Oh, I see. The granary.
They roofed that over.
Yeah.
And the floor had 12-inch boards in it. That was a pain in the neck because they shrunk and left big cracks. And she was forever finding out, trying to find some way to fill up those cracks because stuff would get lost if you dropped it on the floor and roll down the crack.
They must have been put down green.
I guess. Probably was.
And 12-inch unplaned boards, I suppose.
Yeah, just rough boards. And then they moved the cook stove out there.
Uh-huh.
And then later she got a neighbor boy about 17, 18. He was pretty handy. And between them, they built a summer kitchen off the back door. There.
Okay, well, let's see. In this original granary and then this kind of covered over thing, which became the kitchen.
And the dining room.
And the dining room.
And the sitting room.
Okay.
We spent more time in there, although we had a parlor where we had...
Did you still use the granary as a granary?
No, Papa partitioned off one end to make a room for my Grandma Sellers. That was it. He put a roof over it.
So it's got to be quite a long
structure. Kind of long thing,
Was it all straight in a row? Or
yes, right in a row.
Okay,
right in a row. And then on the very end of the granary, they built a bunkhouse.
On the end of the granary?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it made it even longer yet.
Was the roof line... level across all A's or go up and down?
Which way?
Every one different.
Yeah, every roof was different.
Which one is highest? The granary?
The granary. The shingle roof. And the roof over the roof over the bunkhouse was just like a shed roof. Just a shed roof, like so.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
But we always seemed to have men around there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, let's see. What was your... Were you raising cattle then?
Well, we always had some cattle, but not many. But sheep.
Oh, you're raising sheep.
We were going to get in the sheep business, and it wasn't easy to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, Papa had to borrow part of that $300 to pay for the relinquishment.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have any money to spare.
Yeah.
I know we didn't burn the Rochester lamp. It took too much oil.
Uh-huh.
And a postage stamp cost 2 cents.
Right.
And I like to write to my cousins and my one cousin in Minnesota and Grandpa. And Papa said to Mama, she's using up too many stamps.
Huh.
You don't need to write to everybody.
That's 2 cents a letter.
Yeah, 2 cents a letter. Yeah. So the way we got in the sheep business was to raise pet lambs, you know, get the bums, and bring them home. One time we raised 40.
Is that right?
And then as we accumulated some, we'd get them, put them in with the neighbor's band, and pop a tent camp, and feed the take their food for the herder until we got enough that we could afford to hire a herder.
It only
cost $35 a month,
yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
there was no use in having him herd 100 head of sheep either. And then he'd buy up a little bit once in a while. There'd be some for sale.
How many sheep did you get eventually? You know?
Well, one summer, the summer I was 13, we sheared 6,000 of our own.
6,000, okay.
Before we got through that, we had sheared 12,000 sheep.
Huh.
That summer.
Uh-huh. And 6,000 were your
6,000 were
your
own, yeah.
Uh-huh. Huh. Let's see. That was shearing by hand shears, I suppose.
Yeah, Papa bought one of those clippers that And but it had to go with a hand crank, you know.
A hand crank.
He got two of them, but to get somebody to turn
right.
that blasted thing
okay.
was awful hard work.
Now, did that work like the later gas engine ones were?
Yeah,
it went up to a rod
uh-huh.
and then it came down
it
to the
same,
shearer.
But the shearing thing was the same deal.
But by
but,
hand crank.
But Papa couldn't do anything with machinery very much.
Oh, he was...
If an engine quit or anything, it just had to be there.
He
could get, his brothers always said he could get more work out of the farm machinery than any of them, but he couldn't fix it if it broke.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Well, how long did the sheep ranch last?
It couldn't have been too long because from the time I was 5 until I was 17.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We stayed there on that ranch, and I remember after we'd gotten this sheep business, Papa bought some land. They put some Indian land up for sale down around Hardin,
mm-hmm.
and he bought some of this. It was a good buy, he thought.
Uh-huh.
But down in that dry, desolate country, Mama didn't want him to do it, but he said he was going to make $50,000 on that. So I remember him taking baled hay and our best horses took it down there. And he'd bought 2,000 ewes from Ross and Runner, paid $5 a head for them. And then he had a band of dry stuff down there, too, 1,500 head. And we had an awful winter. Well, you see, and he'd begin to drink a little again.
Uh-huh.
And he got some hay, but he couldn't seem to get it to the to the sheep.
Is this when you were about 17, did you
no,
say?
I was
no,
I was younger than that.
Oh, younger.
I think I was 14 that summer.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's about 1908 or so.
Yeah, right along in there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he shipped the dry stuff to Minneapolis, and he didn't get very little of it. Not to pay the freight bill.
Paid
you know,
freight,
a lot
yeah.
of sheepmen did that.
Yeah.
They couldn't. They ship their sheep back there, and
mm-hmm.
maybe get a dollar a head for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And finally he and before this started, the brother older than I. He died when he was 15, very suddenly.
Oh, the one in the picture?
Yes, the one with me in that picture.
Is that right? Died when he was
15. He had a sinus infection. Us kids used to have terrible colds.
Huh.
We would have the awfulest colds. I can remember coughing and coughing, and he'd get up and get the whiskey bottle, take it and hold it in your... Oh, God.
Yeah.
And Willard was the same way, and the summer before he died, he went up to they sent him up to the coal mine. It's quite a ways, 20 miles or so with a team, to get a load of coal.
Uh-huh.
And it was hot, August. And he got up to the mine, and he got off the wagon seat and dropped the tugs of the team, and crawled under the wagon, and the miner come down there, the man that owned it. Of course, nobody had any regard for kids. But
yeah.
Kids were just a nuisance. What are you doing laying there, he said. And Willard says, I got such a headache, I can't hold my head up. So he got him up and took him up to the kitchen, and Mrs. Lauffer gave him a cup of coffee, and they loaded the coal, and he brought it home. But that's the first time in looking back over it, that any of us knew how sick he was, because he used to have this awful headache.
Huh.
And then he graduated from the eighth grade there, so we went to Columbus to go to school, and they went down around the house and moved Mama and Willard and the little boy Johnny and I down there, and we went to Columbus school, so Willard could go to high school.
Uh-huh.
And we'd been home over the holidays and caught terrible colds. Over the Christmas holiday.
Yeah.
And we went back to school, and he couldn't seem to throw off this cold. And the 12th of January, he was dead.
Hmm. Hmm.
He came home one day from school, and the next morning he didn't know Mom.
In fever?
And convulsions.
Convulsions?
Just one on top of another. And,
huh.
And but there was the doctors there. There were a couple of old doctors there in Columbus. They couldn't imagine what it was. And I finally got Papa on the phone. We had to phone to Sharky to the store and then have them call over another line to get Papa to come. And he finally got there. And then on Saturday morning, he got a doctor to come up from Billings on the train. It was too late.
Uh-huh.
He said if I'd have had him 2 or 3 days ago, I could have maybe saved his life.
He was 15, huh?
He was 15. Uh-huh. And that just caused an awful thing for our family. Because my father blamed Mama for his death. She hadn't wanted him to go to school so bad, he wouldn't have gone down. That's... He wouldn't, because he went down, well, she wouldn't have more to blame for his death than he was.
Yeah.
And then that caused him to drink a little more, too, you know.
Well, tell me some of your life as a kid back on the homestead claim after you bought it. Did you have chores you did?
Yes, we always had to do the evening dishes, and we had to get in the chips for the morning fire. And
chips. Was this cow chips or
no? Just from the wood yard where we burnt wood in the stoves.
Yeah.
You see, at that time we just used the wood around the ranch. There was mm-hmm. plenty of wood around.
Mm-hmm.
But then later they developed this coal mine up at Nye, and we used coal. But you know, when we were first there, we used wood
uh-huh.
to heat with.
Okay.
And we always had those 5 gallons. Kerosene cans, and
mm-hmm.
we'd take them out and get them full of bits of wood and one thing and another for whoever got up to make the fire, which was Mama, I suppose.
Yeah, you had the top off and bring it in.
We used to put
some. Bring in that many every day? Would you bring in two a day?
Every uh-huh. evening.
Every evening.
Uh-huh. That was along with the dishes
uh-huh.
that uh-huh. we had to do.
Okay.
This brother, he and I never got along very well. I was bigger than he was, for one thing. He was kind of short.
Huh.
And we quarreled a lot. And I guess I was a little jealous of him because it seemed to me he always got the best of everything.
Yeah.
He had the good saddle horse and a good saddle and a bridle. And I'll show you a picture of
okay.
it. And I rode Mike, the buggy horse. Mama had a nice, this big sorrel blaze face horse and a buggy. And then we uh-huh. could go to Oksarkee. We were about 7 miles from Oksarkee.
Oh,
we'd go down. Maybe drive down in the afternoon to do a little shopping,
mm-hmm.
what little we did.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was my saddle horse, or if he wasn't around, I rode the sheep herder's horse, and I didn't like that, and Papa's old pancake of a saddle. And I'd be mad about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a terrible blow to us to mm-hmm. lose him.
Right. Did you ride a lot? Would you just ride to be riding as well as going places?
No, I rode because there was things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just, Sunday afternoon, the neighborhood kids, we used to gather together and we'd go maybe up the road, up to Stillwater to the Red Bridge and around across Trout Creek and home, or we used to go as far as Reed Point, and that was a long ways.
Mm-hmm. All on horseback?
On horseback, just a crowd of kids
who yeah.
mm-hmm. wanted something better to do.
Uh-huh. How many families were there right around your
Well,
area?
The ones we were most associated with were the Madisons. They had mm-hmm. 6 kids, and the Flanagans had 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were other families there, but we never seemed to have so much association with
yeah.
them. I never knew why, but we did.
Were these other places close? Could you see them from your house?
No.
Nobody else in sight where you...
No, we couldn't see, really see any house from uh-huh. our place.
Uh-huh.
There were on adjoining ranches, but most of them were either down in the trees uh-huh. or...
Is that... rolling country,
yeah.
Swaley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's awful pretty country there. But,
well, the school you went to there, was that a one-room?
Yeah, Spring Creek School.
Well, first grade through 8th grade? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
Spring Creek School.
It's called the Spring Creek School. And that building was there when we went there. It was a long building. And somebody burned it down.
I mean,
when I was 10.
Oh?
Somebody set the darn thing afire and burnt it down. And so Papa and Mama and then the Madisons took all of us over to Big Timber and rented houses, and we went to school there.
Huh.
I was in the 5th grade and Willard was in, I guess, 7th or 8th grade.
Uh-huh. Okay, the Spring Creek School didn't reopen after it was burnt.
Papa rebuilt it.
Oh, he rebuilt it, I see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was a joint district with Carbon County. And they wanted the people on the other side of the river would rather have it on that side of the river. And Papa lived in Sweetgrass County, so they built it in Sweetgrass County. And he came within an ace of having the building on his hands because he had paid for it. I guess he must have been felt reliable for the lumber and stuff that went into it. But anyhow, when they had an election after they got the school built, it's hard to get it paid for. And Sweetgrass County just got it by 2 or 3 votes.
Huh. Tell me about the inside of the school when you attended there. What were the
It was a frame building. It was a frame building.
Okay, it's a frame building rather than a
log. With just windows on either side.
One
big room.
Okay, and windows on both sides.
Windows on both sides, and three little cubbies across the front. Two entrances, and a little building, a little room in the middle.
Mud room or something?
Later, afterwards, we used it for a little library when we was able to get some books.
Yeah.
And there were the two entrances on either side, but there was none in the back. You know, I often thought, if that place ever caught fire, I hope that we got out of there or not.
Yeah. What were the desks like? Did they run across the room?
No.
And set? No.
In the old building, in the one that burned down, they were the big double desks.
Okay.
You know,
two
did
of you.
Did you ever see that? Two
fixed in. Yeah, I've seen them. Never in operation, but I've seen them.
Well, we used those in the old building.
Did you each have a lid you could lift and?
No. There was no such thing as that. And the new desks were just there was a place under there you could put your books, but the lid didn't lift. But there was an inkwell there.
Inkwell, yeah.
We had an organ, and blackboards all around that end.
Okay, and stove, pot-bellied stove, or something like that.
Yeah. Just a coal stove.
Okay. Did you have pretty much the same teacher, or was there?
No, had many teachers. We had men teachers and women teachers, and
only one for the school at a time. Though.
Just one at a time. We had one fellow that he belonged to the Flanagan family. Mrs. Flanagan was of French descent. They came up from Missouri. The family's name was Bardo.
Bardo?
Bardo and Ferdinand came up there. And it wasn't always easy to get a teacher, I guess.
Is his name Ferdinand Flanagan?
Bardo.
Oh, Ferdinand Bardo. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He could walk on his hands. Did that intrigue us kids?
A teacher
ever,
to walk on
ever
his hands.
Assist, we'd got Ferdinand walking on his hands. And it was an awful nice school, though. There was we had three ball teams, the boys and the big girls and us little girls.
Baseball, softball?
Well, just a ball.
Just a ball.
If Mama made it out of a wad or something, it was the nearest we could get. We never had any money to buy anything with. And I remember we little girls we had a barrel stave for a bat. And we caught in our apron.
I see. Okay.
Play there and then. And we had a big schoolyard, a whole acre. And the kids from the ranches came with two of them had buggies with one horse, and the others came on horseback, one or two. And most of them walked.
Did you walk?
I only had to go across 40 acres.
Oh, yeah.
Just across that 40 acre patch, quarter mile.
Yeah. Were winters pretty tough down there or not?
Yes, they were. We used to have, like any time, some winters it would be open.
Yeah.
And other winters the snow would be so deep.
Do you remember times when you couldn't have school? Or
no, I can't ever remember a time when we didn't go to school.
Okay. Where did the teacher live? Did he board?
She mostly lived with us.
Boarded with you?
Because we were close there. And Mom always got along so well with everyone, and she was a real good cook, and full of fun, and the teachers all liked her. Every one of them that I ever knew afterwards remembered her with so much pleasure.
Where did they live in your place? What part of the bunk?
Well, this little room that Mama fenced off the corner that was supposed to be mine, it had a three-quarter bed in it, and that was the teacher's.
That got to be the teacher's.
Well, it's primitive. We didn't have a bathroom, you know. We had to go outside to the outhouse.
And
heat the water in the tea kettle. And taking a bath.
What'd you do for baths when you had?
Heated the tub of water on the range. Set a wash tub on the range and got it full of water and set it off mm-hmm. on the floor and stripped off your clothes and sat lifeways in it.
Right, yeah.
Washed yourself.
Were these the long oval tubs or the
round ones?
Round ones, mm-hmm. round galvanized.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Eddie and I used it when we moved into our little house when we was first married. Uh-huh. We didn't have a bathroom
yeah.
either.
Yeah, I did some of that in Ringling, yeah. what about, say, when the teacher or the hired man or somebody wanted a bath? What were the arrangements then?
I don't know. I often wondered what they did.
Oh, I said, you never saw them.
those hired men, that always flummoxed me. I didn't know how in the world they ever got their clothes washed or anything else.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. That was a mystery, huh?
Yeah, because mom wasn't about to do other than some people would. Maybe they found some place or washed their own clothes. I don't know. The river was there. They could have
the still water or whatever.
They didn't seem to be dirty though.
Was there quite a turnover in hired men, or did you have
there's a lot of Norwegians up through there, you
mm-hmm.
know.
We
used to get right over from the old country.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't hardly know only a few words of English, and I remember one time. It was during the time that the sheepmen and the cattlemen were at each other's throats. And Papa had a bunch of sheep up in Trout Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicholas Wicke, he was a Norwegian just over in the old country, come and Papa hired him and took him up there. And we didn't have a sheep wagon then, we just had a tent.
Yeah.
So he pitched the tent, and they had to have the camp down on the creek, but the range went up over the hill
where the
sheep fed, and some cattlemen came over from the upper Stillwater, and they loaded everything, his camp stove and bed, and took down the tent and moved him out of there over the hill on the head of Spring Creek, which was maybe, I don't know how many miles, but they felt it was off of their range, and Nicholas had one shell in his rifle. They offered to carry the rifle, and he said no, he'd carry the rifle. And so when Papa went to went up to Ten Camp, where was he? Well, it didn't take him long to find him, of course. So he just moved him back. He just moved him back there. Now, you fellows come again if you want to. They never molested him again, but others did. Al Canals had, there was a tributary that came into there were two of them, Spring Creek and Cow Creek, that came in between us and the schoolhouse, really,
mm-hmm.
from up in the hills. And Al Canals had come down to the Stillwater with us from White Silver Springs and brought his family. We had they had a wagon with a trail tongue, mm-hmm. and they hooked it up behind another wagon and mm-hmm. Hauled it with four horses. And they had a 14-year-old boy, and they took the claim above ours up on Cow Creek. And then he had his sheep further up Cow Creek, camped up there. And they went there, there was fellows in the night, and threw a rope on the tent and pulled it down and shot the dog and shot some of the sheep. Scared that poor herder almost out of his wits, and he didn't get his shoes or anything. He ran all the way, and it must have been 3 or 4 miles down to the home ranch, got uh-huh. his feet all full of cactus thorns,
yeah.
but they never seemed to locate those. But that was the last I ever heard of that range war.
Yeah, huh? How old were you when this happened? This is after.
Oh, I was quite a big girl.
This
I
is after, yeah, well after 1900. Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. I think maybe I was 10, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But they never, of course, the range wars around there were never anything like they were down in Wyoming.
No, I guess not. Yeah.
People just finally, so they had to accept the sheep, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Papa had lots of range land out there because it hadn't been thrown open to homesteading yet between the Stillwater and the Yellowstone over to Reed Point. You see, Reed Point was about 16 miles away from us, across there.
Yeah.
And we'd, some years, we'd lamb on the range over in Countryman Creek. There was a cabin over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then another place, there was another house. I don't know who that belonged to, but we'd take a camp outfit over there. And
the whole family move over there then?
Yeah, mom and cook. And my grandmother stayed at the ranch. And
did you live out of a tent?
No, there were houses, but we never lived. We never used tents. That summer that I told you we sheared so many sheep.
Yeah, right. Did the shearing crew come in, or did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they knew we needed shears.
Right.
Word gets around, you know, and we finished lambing. We never went home. We were using the Niggerville cabin over on Country Windkick, and we just loaded up the panels and took the sheep and loaded up the whole outfit and went over. It was the place we went, they called it Whistle Creek. It was about 4 miles from Reed Point, and it flowed into the Yellowstone down below there. And Papa had thought that there was shearing pens there.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told him there were shearing pens that were suitable, and that there was a cabin, which there was. There was a log cabin, and there were some pens, but we had taken along panels, but we set up an outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And this cabin was only about maybe 10 by 12 with a number 7 stove in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa stretched a tarpaulin out and built tables and set jack pines around to make a dining area for the
mm-hmm.
crew.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother cooked for 30 men.
30 men, good grief. Can you tell me the difference between a number 7 stove and a number 8? I just came across somebody mentioning a number 8, and I don't know.
It must have been a size bigger then.
Size bigger.
The
what's
seven
the 7 look like?
Bigger than this, you know.
Seven,
I don't know how she did it. She had there
two
was
or three
a,
feet across.
It could be. It wasn't 3 feet.
Uh-huh, I see.
But she...
It had a small oven and everything.
And by the time she had to bake some bread,
didn't have
oven. Just a square thing like that. With a stovepipe.
I see.
And outside, somehow or another, they came by another camp stove. But it was just set up outside, but sometimes she could fry eggs out there.
Uh-huh.
But it was no count for baking. But she, if she needed a little surplus, she could.
Yeah. Did you help her with that cooking, I suppose?
I guess I wasn't much help, but I washed a million dishes.
Yeah, right.
I know, I thought I never worked so hard in my life.
Uh-huh.
Because I had to... I always helped in lambing because I could look after the... I knew how to look for lambs.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you... How
right.
they'll feed up over a hill, and if they don't come back, they don't pick up the lambs. You
yeah.
chase them home another way, and there's... Lambs had been sleeping in the sun up there somewhere.
Right.
And then I used to take lunches to the herders.
Mm-hmm.
Mom would fix them in the paper, and I'd take them on.
Do you ride out or
on my horse? Yeah. Oh yes. I never walked anywhere.
Yeah. How'd you deliver them? Were they in a sack or?
No, just wrapped up in a piece of newspaper.
Newspaper.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. What would they be? Sandwiches
and pie.
Beef sandwiches or what? Do you remember?
Mostly mutton.
Mutton sandwiches.
or some sort of meat.
What kind of pie?
Had ham. She used to make raisin pie.
Raisin pie. Okay.
Everybody loved raisin pie.
Is that with the
dried apple?
Is that like the custard-like raisin filling?
No, she just we didn't buy her. We bought the fruit in a big box like that and that and
a
that.
A flat of raisins, sort of?
Uh-huh,
like
big
peaches?
25-pound boxes, those were.
Of raisins?
Of raisins and apples and peaches, dried peaches. This was dried fruit.
Uh-huh. All right, I see. Okay, and she'd make pies out of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, we always had stuff from home. We had that big orchard. The first thing we went there to that ranch, Papa put out an orchard.
Oh, what did he put in?
There were some trees there, but the stock had broken them all down.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just sawed them off and brought them up into where he was in front of this cabin. He made this orchard out in front of the cabin. And he planted those trees there, just the roots of them, really.
Huh.
But they turned out to be, we called them greenings, but they were just so full of juice.
Apples,
and they weren't very big like this, but us kids used to take the meat grinder down there and fasten it to a table and grind those up, and we'd have apple juice, a whole jar.
Is that right? Just through an ordinary old meat grinder?
Yeah.
And that would...
And use that to get the juice.
Uh-huh.
And
what would that produce? Make a pulp, would it?
We just threw the pulp away, give it to the chickens, but we sure drank the juice.
Okay.
And then...
How did you get the juice out of the pulp?
It just dripped down from the meat grinder. Put a pan under it.
And juice
feed the apples into the grinder, and then juice, it just run down
mm-hmm.
there. They were that juicy.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful tasting apples.
Okay.
I never could give those people let that orchard die. And Ma was a great hand to put up stuff too. We had lots of crab apples, and she'd make half gallon jars of jellied crab apple.
Is that right? Half gallon jars. I never heard of ones quite that size.
Half
gallon? Yeah.
Well, lots of quarts, but she usually had to put those in half gallons.
Uh-huh.
That was good feed for crews,
right.
You know.
I see.
To have something sweet for them.
Yeah. What did you do for butter, did you?
Milk cows.
Made your own
My
butter.
My mother made wonderful butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful butter, and we had lots of stuff. We had
a lot of cream available, I suppose.
Oh, yes. So. It's nice to cook with cream, you know.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother always told
me. Yes. Uh-huh.
Right. I was going to ask you some specific things, like, can you remember the first time you ever saw a car?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, it may help me remember. I can remember it was a Winton.
A Winton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the fellow in Columbus that had the agency, this is that I remember, he drove up and he brought some friends with him. And
about how old were you here now? You were living?
Oh, I was quite a young lady.
This is while you were in Columbus going to school?
No, it was after that.
Oh, after that even, mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. How old were we, Eddie? When would you see your first one? But he lived in Butte, you know.
Uh-huh.
He grew up in Butte. How old were you when you saw your first car? That Pope Hartford that you used to tell about.
18?
Well, I couldn't. I can't remember seeing a car when I was 17.
Okay, so you were roughly 18.
I guess 18. I must have maybe been. No, I wasn't. No, Mama bought that, she bought that Ford. I must have been 19 then, I guess. Because Eddie and I were married. We were married in January, and I was 20 in April.
Okay.
But
when
I had
19.
Been driving this Ford the year
okay.
before that.
So this fellow pulled up in a Winton?
Yeah, and it was such a long thing.
Uh-huh.
And, they had scarves around their head and goggles and caps and...
Didn't they?
It was really quite a thing to see, and I can remember my mother saying, a man came over from Big Timber to show off a car, and it was awful long, and Mama said, that car I wouldn't have. She said, it'll break in two, you see. the reach is too long.
Okay.
And I think that very thing did happen to
me. Yeah? All right. Okay, another thing I was going to ask you, do you remember... hearing news of World War I, of America going into World War I.
Oh, yes.
We
were living in Imsarki, and he was one of the first draftees.
Isn't that right?
But, of course, he went over just as soon as he got the notice, and they wouldn't. The doctor laughs. Says, no. Bedroll had a sale at the depot and brought it home, and when he undone, there was two Colt revolvers in there, two fine guns.
Oh, yeah? He bought it at the depot?
Yeah, you know, they, like the post office gets rid of their surplus. Well,
I didn't realize
railroad
that.
Did that. I didn't
the remember. Railroad depot, huh?
Yeah.
Huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if I got it working. I was asking about finding out about World War I. Do you know how the news hit town? Do you remember?
Well,
newspaper, telegraph?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if whether I... Yeah. The Lusitania, that's when the Germans sunk the Lusitania, that's when it hit everybody. Then we knew we were in for it.
Uh-huh.
And before that, it had been so far away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they began to conscript the boys, they'd send them off, there'd be a parade, and they'd walk. And I know the Second World War, we were in Merced.
The Second World War.
And here come this parade, and Father Stack was with them, and they walked, and I said, God, I hoped I'd never see that again.
Yeah, yeah.
And here they are going again.
Yeah. First time you were in Imsarki, did you say?
Yes,
Columbus. Okay.
Yes, we were there then.
Where were you in the, do you remember the winter of 1919 and 20 as being particularly severe? That's the one up in my country where they bought Minnesota sloughgrass.
Oh, yes, I can remember that. Wasn't that terrible?
Now, where were you then?
Well, we were in the Sarkey, but we weren't in the stock business,
now,
so we didn't know so much about
uh-huh.
it. And usually they were putting up a tremendous amount of hay in the Stillwater
yeah.
Valley.
Yeah.
And we put up a tremendous amount of hay. We nearly almost never had to buy hay. Just once in a great while we'd have to
and
buy
this is
hay.
All wild hay?
No, this was alfalfa.
Oh, it's alfalfa.
We put up that whole 160 acres. My father thought that alfalfa was the finest thing that ever happened to a rancher because
yeah.
it was such nutritious food.
Did he irrigate
hay.
Do that or not?
Yes, he irrigated.
Out of the Stillwater?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ditch was there when we bought the place.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And but he was the most resourceful person. He could survey a ditch and measure hay and pull teeth and cut hair and
uh-huh.
Well, if there was any, the only thing he couldn't do was fix the machine.
Yeah, right.
I remember one time we were mowing alfalfa, and the sickle head broke on my mowing machine. You see, when Willard died, when my brother died,
yeah.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he never said, can you do this? Do it. So I just went along to help
uh-huh.
him. And I broke that sickle head, and we were trying to get it out. And I've got awful thin skin, and I had gloves on. Take those damn gloves off, he said. You can't do anything. And I said, Grandpa, I'll just have my hands so sore. All right, he said. But he couldn't ever weld that head on, you know. We'd have to take it to town and have
uh-huh.
the blacksmith weld it.
Yeah, yeah. So you had 160 acres of
yes,
of
alfalfa, and it was nearly all in alfalfa. There was very little of it.
Yeah.
Then we leased 80 acres from the state for
mm-hmm.
a pasture.
Remember how many ton you got on a hay crop off that, roughly? I don't think
no,
I would know. No,
I don't know that I know either,
yeah.
but we almost never got a third crop, you know. You
mm-hmm.
just, you have two
yeah.
cuttings.
Yeah.
This year that we sheared all those sheep,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell you about. You spoke about who did the shearing.
Yeah.
We gathered up quite a few shears, and here come four fellows from Oregon. They've been shearing in Oregon, and Papa hired them. And my goodness, they were turning the sheep loose every minute or two. And I went down there and sat there and held a watch on them, and they just. They never touched their belly or trimmed them up or anything, you know. They got them. Sometimes they could cut real bad with
yeah.
those shears.
Yeah.
And they were there a couple of days or 3 days, I think, and Papa finally told them, are
yeah.
you going
to
leave?
Oregon.
Well, the Oregonians got sent down the road.
Yeah,
so.
and they said, we sure hate to leave here. This is the best grub we've struck since we left. I don't know where.
Yeah. Yeah. But they weren't much of shearers. Huh?
No, they were just out to make the money.
Yeah.
And he said, I got wool to sell.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to just make you fellas
yeah.
well off.
Well, did you have anything else you wanted particularly to tell me?
I wish I had more that I thought would fit into a
well, this
a
is
story.
All. This has all been very useful, what you've told me so far. That's just
well,
fine.
Of my growing up, of my girlhood, his sister came, and she said that was we had the best time of any young people I know. She said there's nothing but fun.
Eddie's sister.
Yeah, his sister. She was uh-huh. just my age, a little younger, the one that lives in Friday Harbor.
Oh.
We danced every Saturday night if we could round up.
At the schoolhouse or where?
Wherever. There was a town hall in Absarkey,
mm-hmm.
but we danced in the schoolhouse. Or in somebody's kitchen when I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
A lady, Della Hudson, taught me to waltz in her kitchen. And they'd push the furniture into the bedroom or wherever, and they'd maybe only be enough for one set if they danced a quadrille,
yeah.
but they danced.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody fiddled. It was awful hard to get somebody that was musical. I know
yeah.
the McKelveys. Poor Maggie, I've seen her stand up there on the desk and blow the mouth organ until you'd
oh.
think she'd fall over, but they'd dance to it.
Oh my gosh, just to a mouth organ.
Just to a mouth organ. And
yeah.
Some of them had those little accordions.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like an octarini. It was a teeny accordion,
uh-huh.
and they could all play that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we, later on, a couple He played the violin and she chorded on the organ. And we could always get them for $5.
Uh-huh.
And the Spring Creek dances were very popular because the dinner was free, the midnight supper was free, and there was always fried chicken and cake. And
everybody would bring something.
Everybody brought something.
Yeah.
It was a social gathering, and people came from quite a ways around to attend to it.
I had one question about your ranch there. All the buildings eventually got strung together, the granary and so forth.
Yeah.
Did you have outbuildings besides?
Yes.
Did you have a barn and so forth?
We had everything down where Papa's with that big stallion.
Mm-hmm.
That was down on the riverbank. There was a good barn down there, and there was also what we call the lumber shed. It was a long shed and just built of green lumber, but it was...
Like a lambing shed?
That's what it was built for. We had pens in there for lambs, and then the horses went. It was a shelter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Papa built also what we call the log shed, and that was just laid up on logs on three sides like that and let the front all open.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then they'd cut brush and lay on the top of it and thrash the straw on there.
Uh-huh.
And it was real warm and good in the winter. We had two of those. And but holy smoke, when the snow started to melt.
Yeah.
One time, a skunk got. Mama had young chickens just getting big enough to fry, and that skunk got in there and killed 40 of them. You know, a skunk will just
slaughter
them.
Right,
he don't care whether he eats or not.
Yeah.
And so we went down to, and there wasn't any of the men around. We had a little Mexican boy staying with us, Tony, Mary, and Papa had a 10-gauge shotgun. And so I took the shotgun and half a box of shells and went down there and was going to kill the skunk. I fired away all the shotgun shells. We got laughing, and this gun had bobbed all over. It was so big and heavy, I couldn't point it hardly anywhere. Finally, I killed the skunk with the tent pole.
Where'd you have the skunk cornered when you were blazing away at it?
He was in that shed. It was dark.
I see.
It was after night.
So you just pointed around in there?
I just pointed where I thought he was and pulled the trigger. And when I ran out of the shelves, I got the tent pole and I finally...
You went in after him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Horrible smell.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hold your breath.
Right. Okay.
But what we did for amusement, mostly were Sunday ball games and the 4th of July celebration and maybe a picnic or two during the summer. And like I said, these rides,
Sunday rides
on the saddle horses if we had time.
Okay.
And the neighbors back and forth to dinners like they do anywhere. But it was really a nice growing up. I thought, except for Papa's drinking, that always distressed me.
Did your parents stay together?
No.
No, they split.
Well, after I was married, they sold the ranch.
Similar with
and
Mara,
then Mama moved to Oksarkee, where Eddie and I lived.
Yeah.
And Papa went to Alaska in 1916.
Uh-huh.
He went up there, first with a surveying crew. He came to see me when he left, the day he left.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Where are you going, Papa?" "Well, I'm going out the coast," he said. And he went to Seattle, from what I could gather, because I didn't hear from him for quite a while. And I guess he just got passage on a boat and went up to Alaska.
Probably.
And I think he fell in with a surveying crew, a government surveying crew, and that were working up there. And he came back then. This was in June that he left. And he came back, and he chartered an old lake steamer in Seattle. And he got to put horses and cows and I guess some pigs, I don't know. No sheep. He wasn't going to have any more sheep. And a whole ranch outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Plow and mower and rake and a mare and stallion and what other horse and some cattle, some cows. And took it to Homer. You know where Homer is?
No,
Kodiak Island is here.
Oh, right, yes,
right
sure I do.
Of,
yeah. Yeah.
And,
I was thinking Homer, Montana. He took it back to Alaska.
Yeah, he took it back to Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And they got in a terrible storm off that Shelikov Strait just outside the the entrance to Cook Inlet.
Yeah.
He said even the captain thought they'd never make it, they'd never see daylight.
Uh-huh. He was on a steamship with this
stuff. Well, it was a steam. They used to bring those old steamboats around from the Great Lakes.
Oh.
And insure them heavily and put them on that Alaska one. And
okay.
Maybe they could cash in on them, whereby they just lay out back there and run.
Yeah. So they got in a storm doing all
Yeah, this. And the captain was. And yeah, the Gulf of Alaska, you know, is awful rough.
Yeah.
And this was in October.
Uh-huh.
But he made it all right.
Oh, okay.
And that winter was real open. He said he never put his overcoat on.
Okay.
And the Army had some horses in there. They were wintering. And they helped him out a little bit, so he got through that winter all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did he stay on up there then?
He stayed on then. This was about 1916. And he filed on the claim. On this, it wasn't 160, it was a homestead, which would be up there, it's squeezed in, you know, there's so many 40s and lots, 149 and some fraction of acres.
Yeah.
And for long years, we never paid any taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I proved up on it, as I was his only heir, my brothers were both dead.
Yeah.
And
So,
it took me a long time to do it, but I finally got it proved up on.
Uh-huh.
And so I held it all these years, and I just sold the last of it 2 years ago.
Is that right? Oh, uh-huh. You're darn. Huh.
Yeah.
When did your father die?
1921.
21.
They found him. They there's you know that.
Was he up there?
Yes. Oh, sure. He never left
there. Never left there.
After
he
went up there. That spit that puts out from Homer, have you read about it?
No, I don't know that area.
It's a gravel spit.
Yeah.
It's 5.5 miles long. It's formed by the action of the sea.
Yeah.
And there's one off Calcutta, but that isn't occupied, but this one is.
Okay.
And all their goings on, there was no post office or anything there then,
mm-hmm.
were held out on the spit. And they had a little 4th of July celebration. They mined coal up along there,
mm-hmm.
and they had a spur run out, and they brought the coal down and loaded it on the ships, and they used it up and down the inlet.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this little celebration out there on the 4th of July, and they saw him, and then nobody saw him for a couple of days, and somebody went there, and he found him dead on his doorstep.
Oh, huh.
So they buried him there in his garden.
Oh, I see.
And we gave 3 acres to the city of Homer for a little park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he's buried.
Okay.